Do you ever look around and think, wow, the world is a crazy place, and it just seems to get crazier and crazier? Ease your mind and take a break. This is Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta. We're a hub for inspirational Christian sermons, practical keys for Christian living, and Christian discussions and interviews. You'll be inspired to live the life that you were created for. Your host is a top-ranking podcaster, best-selling author, world record holder, aerospace engineer, life coach, evangelist, and founder of John Gifta International. Welcome to Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta.
God bless you. It's such a joy for me to be with all of you today. Thank you so much for dropping by. I just want to decree and declare that God has amazing things in store for you as well. Here we are as we are celebrating the 1,000th episode on the Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta podcast. It's such a joy and honor for me to see what the Lord has been doing through this podcast. What started off with just mere voice notes on WhatsApp in 2013 and eventually upgrading to the online platforms and available on over 60 platforms, trending across the globe on so many platforms and ranking in so many nations. It's amazing to see what the Lord has been doing through this simple act that I just took as the Lord led me, and I started off and we started having many interviews with so many guests from across the globe. Some of them you might have seen yourself, whether it's Stella Romala, the first person I interviewed of that accord, or even when I was able to interview Holly Starr, the Christian singer and musician, or Pastor Andrew F. Carter, or Mark Insull Comedy lead actor based in, or last year, I had the honor of interviewing a Hollywood Disney actress and voiceover artist as well. So it's amazing, you know, something that I started off as something small and mediocre. People thought this is crazy, this is weird, but look what the Lord has done, you know, brought it up to 1,000 episodes. And I want you guys to understand that no matter where you are today, what you have started, God is able to bring some greatness out of the great mess. It could be something stupid, but God is going to bring something of great miracle out of the mediocrity that you are in right now. So to celebrate and commemorate this amazing milestone of 1,000 episodes, I'm here with my friend Prakruti Angelina. Thank you so much for coming in, and thanks for being with us today.
Hey John, thank you. It's such an honor to be on the 1,000th episode. I mean, you've been doing some really good, consistent work, and so awesome to see that. Like you said, you know, God honors small steps of obedience, and I'm really happy that we're getting to sit down and talk, and thank you for having me on the special 1,000th episode.
That's so cool. It's amazing. I think I've known Prakruti even before she became famous, so
that is
I have the wait scene. It's amazing. Some of you would have seen her. In fact, when I was talking about you, I usually don't tell people before an interview that I'm going to interview someone. Oh. But I did mention to a few people yesterday at church, and the minute I said Prakruti, they were like, oh my gosh, I listened to her songs. I've seen her. Oh my gosh, I love this song. So you're making such a great impact with that song, Chetan, and Bridge Music, and all of these things. So I know you might have heard so many people talk about this, but I want to ask in this line that there may be people who are still waiting for the miracle, their breakthrough, but what do you think, or can you share a little bit about your story behind Chetan and how the Lord has led you thus far?
Wow. Yeah. So for me, Chetan was definitely a Kairos moment, right, of God bringing so many different things together. And it definitely shifted me from hiddenness into visibility in a very big way. I mean, when I committed to full-time ministry in 2017 at Face to Face, I started leading worship, and people started experiencing God through the worship, and you know, just started receiving blessings through that. But there was also a time period, especially there, where God was just like, I want you to just worship me, just sit with me. And I had just quit my job, and you know, I was seeking for something beyond what I was already doing. I knew that what I was doing was very fulfilling. Like, it was, I did my master's in business psychology, HR and management, and it was really good, but I knew there was something more to my life. And I had been part of church choir, and I've always loved music, and all of that, but somehow I'd just put a lock on that and forgotten all about it because I had waited and tried and dreamed, but nothing had happened. And then I realized, okay, maybe God wants me to serve with my gift. Mm. You know, and many times worship can become all about the worship leader, and it becomes such a celebrity culture. And I think God really worked on my heart and my character. And the dream took shape so that it became more about, okay, how can I serve this world? Like, what did God put me here for? And I think that process led me down the road of mental health and exploring, you know, how I can be of help in different areas. So when I finally came to face to face, I think I had no thought also about like making it big in the music scene or anything like that. Like, I'd forgotten about it. Maybe it was a painful area at one point, but at this point I think it was so far buried. But what God did during that time was slowly, like, I started leading worship and the Indian sound came back into my life. I wouldn't listen to a lot of Indian worship. It would be more CCM, and, you know, we grew up on a lot of these things. But I had to go to, you know, probably the north or probably some places in Karnataka and, you know, lead worship. And that's when God even developed that heart for the worship scene in India, slowly, right? I've always had a heart for India, but especially with regards to worship. And so I think there was a very long process of preparation for my character, my love for God, my actual true worship to God. And that's part of the story, like, that's too much to talk about. But I think Chattan was such an unexpected thing, honestly. Even when I went to be part of Bridge, I knew God was speaking to me about visibility. He was like, get ready, I'm going to put you out there. I knew something big was coming, I didn't know what. And Chattan is not even a song that I wrote. Like, yeah. As Bridge, we got together and we decided, I mean, Sam has been doing such an amazing job with, you know, Bridge Music India. At that point, they had already been impacting this nation. And it was such an honor to be invited to that. And so I was just so happy that finally I'm getting to write songs with these passionate lovers of Jesus, right? It's not just about great artistry or, you know, putting your song out there. But these people really had a heart to seek what God wanted to sing over the church, or what God wanted to release for India. And that was so beautiful. And I remember just a couple of weeks before this camp, there was such an emptying that I went through personally with God, where I was like, God, I have nothing to give. Why are you taking me to this camp? I'm not as good as these artists and songwriters. I have nothing to give God, and I don't even know if I, you know, I don't even know what I can do. But I just, and God did this for me. Like, there was just such a surrendering and an emptying. And I just said, here's my yes. I'm just giving myself to you. Because I said yes to you, that's all the reason I need to just go and show up. And yeah, I think there was a lot that God was doing with us together. And Chattan was, yeah, I mean, I would just say that it was the collective fruit of, you know, so many people who've gone before us and poured into the Indian worship scene, pioneered so many things. And now I've got the opportunity and the privilege to meet so many of them, work with them. But it really comes down to all of that, right? So it's not been about me. It's never been about me. But I think that's what God set me up for in that moment. And I'm really grateful that my moment of breakthrough came because of God. It was not because of anyone. But I'm also really grateful that Bridge and Sam and the whole team, they created this space, right? Mm. And Sam's vision has always been that as well, too. Call out the true worshippers, the true Davids of our generation. And so I'm so, so grateful for that, for the community that I've gotten to have now. But yeah, I mean, you can ask me specifics about it. There's so much to say about it, but yeah.
But it's, so summarizing the whole thing, you had a heart for the Lord, and, you know, and you kept doing what you could do. Mm. And God opened the right door at the right time, you know? That's the most important thing, guys. I mean, what you may say, John, I want to go to the palace, but all I'm sitting is, you know, in a normal home like Joseph. But you have no idea how God is going to orchestrate your steps. You have no idea. You didn't expect this one song will change the trajectory of your life. You know, you thought it's just another song I'm just going to sing. I mean, of course, there are things God plays in your spirit, but then, you know, and the amazing thing is it happened through the pandemic. When people were actually going through struggles, you were actually prospering through the pandemic. Mm. I mean, in the sense that, you know, you may go through the wilderness, you may go through difficult seasons in your life, but God can use that season to be the platform to demonstrate His power through your life. So you can, instead of giving up, instead of thinking that nothing great can come out of your life, I encourage you to, you know, keep pushing forward, keep moving towards the things that God placed in you. And that's the beautiful thing, how even this song, I mean, Prakriti is not just a, you know, songwriter, worship leader, she's also into counseling, and the Lord has also been using her as a voice in the Christian music space. And so this particular song called Chetan, I know many of you watch around the world, so you may say, oh, I don't know Hindi. I mean, this song is also having the lyrics in English, and I think Vihan also released this in English. You were part of the translation, right?
No, I think mostly it was her, but I just helped her out with
it. But it's such a powerful rendition. So you guys can check this out. This is going to be a powerful song, and God has been using her through our YouTube channel and all of those things. So so what is your word of encouragement for those who are still waiting for their miracle, their breakthrough, saying that you have no idea how God is going to suddenly show up?
Right. I'm glad you brought out that specific point, because I remember 2019, just November 2019, I remember October 31st, I was just like, I had been obeying the Lord. God had just told me, be at home. He didn't even let me take up a job. And I was like, you know what people are saying, you know, finances are difficult. My mom, I want to support her, and all of these things are happening. But I was just trying my best to be faithful to God. 2017, 18, 19, especially, right? Like, that was a season of prep for ministry as well. And I remember November 1st, I wanted to launch this fundraising campaign, because I was like, what can I do, God? Like, I don't have money. I want to support this, like House of Prayer Face to Face was starting the Delhi branch at that time, right? They needed funds. I was like, I want to give, but I don't know how. And that's when this wave of inspiration, I think it was the Holy Spirit, just breathed this idea into my heart of just, you know, trying to raise funds through songs. And like, I've never been someone who wants to put out my music on YouTube and my own channel. I just didn't want to do all of that. But I was like, okay, you know what? People are requesting certain songs and they want to listen. So maybe I'll do it this way, because I didn't want to make it about me. But so that's when I think I even started putting out my worship and music. And Sam actually saw that, one of those videos. I did a cover of Vandanam. And they knew about me, but that was later when I found out that was his decision point. And so, like John was saying, you don't know what is going to lead to your moment of breakthrough. And the main thing is, God wants your heart for Himself, right? Because if God had not prepared me, John, adequately for that moment of breakthrough, I don't think I would have been able to handle what came. The success or the visibility or the attention. I really think, you know, God prepares us to carry our gift so that our gift does not destroy us, so that the anointing doesn't destroy us, but we're able to carry that and host it and, you know, be true to Him, because the gifts of God are irrevocable, but your character and your relationship with Him is an ongoing journey that God wants to preserve, you know.
Yeah, again, I see that parallel between you and Joseph, right? Like, you went through that season, but as a platform, like, he showcased his gift to the cupbearer, and that was the cupbearer who opened the door for him to go to the palace. And
that's good.
Bridge Music has been the cupbearer for you.
That's good.
But you had no idea that, you know, you have no idea who's going to be the cupbearer in your life. So be
That's
faithful
true.
With every relationship, honor every person God placed in your heart and in your life, and God is going to use them in unexpected ways. And like you said, initially he thought the dream was about him. You know, he thought, I'm just going to see everyone bow down before me. But eventually the dream came to pass, but not about him, but he was saving nations through that. And you're saving lives through that. I've seen, you know, for this interview, I was going through the comment section, so many people pouring out saying, you know, how this song ministered and all of those things. You know, you nation, you know, and I think the song has around almost 20 million views on YouTube alone. That's like imagine how many people in that would have been blessed, like at that moment, saved through that song, or you know, ministered through that. And sometimes it's not just the song, but your story and everything can inspire people encourage. And I think it's made such an impact, just like Joseph did. And like you said, one more thing, you said, you know, most people focus on the gift, but the gift will take you to the throne, but only your character can keep you on the throne. That's how Saul missed his destiny. And so you went through that season of preparation that kept you ready for such a moment. And so guys, be ready when the moment strikes in your life as well. So before we go into the meat of the meat, when you're talking about worship, okay. Since you're into the worship space, I wanted to do something fun.
Okay.
Starting off.
Cool.
Okay. So I want to see how much you know about the worship songs that you worship. I mean, I know you don't worship the song, you worship God through the song. So I'm going to tell you maybe a line from a song, and I want you to identify the song.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so first song, it's a very simple one. So, you're perfect in all your ways.
Good Father.
Yeah. Okay, very simple.
Okay,
so, oh sickness, see your head lying low. I hope you
don't. Bimari, dekh tera sar chuka.
Oh, you found it?
Okay. That's Chattan.
Yeah. Okay, so let me do a controversial one.
Okay,
like a sloppy wet kiss and my heart turns violently inside my chest.
How He Loves Us by John Mark McMillan.
Seriously? I thought you would be like, oh my gosh, okay. It is too simple. Okay. Jason told me it's so simple and I was like, no, at least he won't find the third one. Okay. Last one is very simple. Like a rushing wind.
Surrender by Hillsong.
Yeah.
I surrender.
Oh, okay. She's under
the been in the worship scene. Yes. Oh, gosh.
Okay, I should have
I should do this to you. I should ask you. I should be asking you the song cues.
Yeah. I wouldn't
have Yeshu Masih Bharosa Mera. Which song is that?
I have no clue. Scooby-Doo, do you have
bridge.
Any clue?
That's
no?
A bridge. Oh, Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo would probably know.
No.
He would know. It's a mystery to him.
So true. So, tell me in three words, how do you describe your life story?
Three words, okay. Three phrases or three words? Okay, three words. Yeah. Let's try and do this challenge. Okay, I think the first would be grace. The grace of God, we talk about it a lot, but it literally has been nothing but the grace of God to find me in my pain, you know, to meet me in all of the different things that I went through. So much unforgiveness, hard-heartedness, bitterness. I don't think anyone could have seen that person and called out who I am today except God. And that's what He does. That's what He's best at doing. He makes beauty out of absolute messes. And just the unconditional love and grace of God has been such a theme in my life of just not just changing me, but also, you know, causing that grace to flow to others. Like the reason I'm able to love people, not judge them, create these safe spaces for them, even in terms of mental health or whatever it might be, is because God first showered that grace into my life. And I think everything that I'm able to do today, whether it's travel, music, there was a time when the enemy was after my voice in such a big way. I thought I would never be able to sing. My health was so bad. So traveling, it was just impossible at that time, right? So the grace of God is so beautiful, and more than the grace of God, it's God Himself, the God of grace, right? So I think that's definitely one theme. Even today, I need His grace every single day, right? Another thing I think for me would be worship. I won't go into details of my testimony. Maybe they can find that somewhere else. But I think in short, my family separated when I was 10, right? Like my dad left. And that caused a whole lot of different things. And we would pray for restoration. A lot of other people would pray for restoration, even if we didn't want the restoration, you know. Of course, God's heart is reconciliation and restoration of families. And so a lot of people would pray for that. And we were waiting for that also for a long time. But I think the heart of worship for me really grew when we would pray for things, but we wouldn't see that happening. We would pray for healing, we would pray for finances, all of these things that, you know, they pray for in church and they're like, your miracle is coming soon. And, you know, it wasn't happening though. And I thought maybe something is wrong with me, my faith is not enough and all of those things. It was a very long, hard journey of waiting and waiting and waiting. But in that process, what happened was we didn't get our answers, but God became our answer. God became our blessing. He became the thing that took the place of everything else. And it wasn't instant, it wasn't overnight. We'd be like, so many times wanted to quit the faith, didn't want to trust God. Like, what is the point of all this? You know? But through that long process, I think the greatest thing that I've gained, which I would never trade for anything else now, looking back, is God Himself and just the heart to know Him, to love Him, and to be loved by Him. And so I think that's where my worship comes from. That's why it's unashamed. It's not dependent on anything. And I think that is a huge, huge blessing for me. He is the greatest treasure. So, and I think only He can do that. There's no credit to me to be like, wow, I'm such a great worshiper. I think He does His process with our hearts. And the third, I don't know actually. Third, I didn't think about. Maybe the love of God. I think it would be the love of God. Literally transformed my life. I was never able to love people, love myself. But the unconditional love of God, yeah, I can talk about it all the time. I think that would be the third theme. And for me, the theme of my life, at least from now till my last breath, is to see people falling in love with Jesus and really knowing who He is and really knowing His love. So, yeah.
Nice.
I've gotten to know so much has been happening in the Indian worship scene, and it's incredible to see, like, the sound of our nation, the sound of different cultures and languages coming forth like this. And I think Bridge really, just the obedience that Sam had and the whole team has, contributed to, it's been amazing to be part of it. I'm really grateful and really humbled to be bang in the center of it. But if you just take a step back also and just see what God has been doing, it's quite amazing.
Earlier this year, I think you were there, right? Let Us Worship, Sean had come to Bangalore.
Yes,
so he was sharing about the same thing, right? We have heard of the American worship sound, that's most of them, you know, Don Moyne and all of them, or UK, obviously, Martin Smith and others, and all Hillsong from Australia. But here's a moment for India also to come up with its own sound.
Correct.
And I think Bridge Music has bridged that gap. It's making an impact. And 20 million is not a small number. Like, there are literally so many people who are hurting. And that's one of the things, guys. See, even in the ministry scene, people have told me, no, you're not in the US, you don't have this, you don't have that. But, you know, God is able to bring out what is unique about us. Right, you know what I mean? I involve Scooby-Doo. I involve, what is unique about me, comedy, and even the language perspective and all of these things.
True.
And, you know, that is what is different about you is what will actually make the difference in the lives of people. Right? Like, instead of trying to be like others, trying to, okay, this is how something typical should be, but how can we be unique in our own way?
Yeah. And I think about the throne room, where every tribe, every tongue, every people group is right there worshiping the Lord, right? And that's God, and that's His heart.
So, in a brief way, explain what is worship.
Whoa, a brief way. Sign up for my 4-month school of worship. I don't have a school of worship, but we have one at Face to Face, which absolutely transformed my life. Just an unintentional plug, but since you said briefly about worship. Oh, wow, okay. Worship can be defined as a lot of different things. There's so much to it, but I go back always to what Jesus said to
in
John 4. Yeah. And he said the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. And I was just thinking about it this morning, and I realized all the more, right? Like this person, she says, you worship God on that mountain and we worship God on this mountain, right? And then Jesus says, the Father. And then we know Heavenly Father. We have been introduced to that concept. But at that point, she would have been like, who's Father? What are you talking about? Right? And I find that to be a really significant thing that Jesus demonstrated. He had a living, beautiful relationship with his Father. And he said, everything that I'm doing is because I see my Father doing it and I hear my Father saying it. And I only speak what I hear him say and I do what I see him do. And I think that is the truest expression of worship, where you are looking at God and you are beholding him. There is nothing separating you from God, because Jesus has literally turned it upside down, right? Our whole relationship with God. Jesus did that. He finished it on the cross. And because of that, we have this unhindered communion with God. And so that's what worship is, to look at God, to relate with him, to commune with him, and to live out your life from that place, in spirit and truth. So I think that's what worship is, at least.
Because a lot of people think that when it comes to worship, it's like the slow songs that we have in the praise and worship part, right? Because the fast songs are called praise.
Correct.
You know, I think I was speaking about this with Derek long ago, about 2 years ago, and I said, is that the difference? I mean, he said that's the worst experience.
Yeah, I did a series on worship.
Yeah, I did a series on worship. Yeah, so yeah. I didn't want to repeat the same segments, but right. then that's something that people need to be reminded.
That's true.
That it's not just about the song, it's an expression. Like, from your heart, what is your act of worship? What is your expression of worship?
Yeah.
You know, last week I was ministering in the Methodist church for the first time, and they asked me to speak from, you know, the lady in Bethany. She came and poured up a perfume, right? And most of the time the focus is on the fact that, you know, she spent so much of money. But then the Lord gave me this revelation that in John, it actually says John 12, that this was the main person who complained was Judas.
Yeah.
And then you realize, then the revelation that came to me was, he was not complaining about so much of money that was spent, because if she had given in the form of cash, he would have been the happiest person. Why? Because he can steal more money.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason he complained was because it was in the form of perfume. He couldn't take any part of it.
Yeah, he
couldn't take any part of it. It was something very personal between she and Jesus.
Yeah.
So if you give something just because everybody's singing and you sing, that's may or may not be actual worship.
That's
because
so
you're
good.
Giving in the form of, like, giving in the form of cash, because everybody is giving in the form of cash.
Wow.
But can you have your own personal expression of worship?
That's really good. Wow,
so
that's so good. Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, so for me, it can be something very different from somebody else. I can't relate personally. I can't relate through songs.
Yeah.
For me, I can, you'll leave me, I'll be jumping, dancing. You know, that's my form of worship. You know, so have your own essence of worship. Have your own expression of worship, and that is what will make it from your heart. And one more thing, why do you think you need to worship God? Like, you worship God to say, okay, God, you are God, but he's already God.
Yeah.
Well, your worship is not going to change that.
Yeah.
So why do you think people need to worship God?
Yeah, that's a good one. I love what you shared, because, you know, worship is about love, and love gives, right? Mm. Like, love doesn't take, love gives, right? And so I think that would lead into the next question, right? Because God doesn't need us. He doesn't really need anything from us. He doesn't need affirmation to be like, oh yeah, I need to feel good about myself today. Please praise me. Please tell me who I am. You know, he doesn't need that. But like you said, you know, there was a point when I would start dancing in worship, and I'm not a natural dancer. Oh, sorry. I'm not a natural dancer. It doesn't come easily to me, and I don't feel very comfortable doing it in public. At least I never used to. But just doing that unto God came from such a pure place of love, not being bothered about anyone else. And that intimate giving, I think, is all is what worship is about. And so we don't need to worship God. He didn't need to come and save us. But love does things that, you know, there's no frame of reference or understanding for. I think that's what I would say, at least, about that. You know, there's so much to worship, like you said. Worship is sacrifice, worship is obedience, worship is honor, all of that. But it comes from a place of intimacy, of just giving yourself to God.
Very similar to what you were saying, like, you know, if I dance, it's like Mr. Bean dancing. It's so weird. But people used to actually make fun, even not in a serious way, but then, oh, John, I saw you dancing in church. I mean, I can't be quiet, but that's who I am. But, but you know, just like this lady, right? What she did, I mean, if you look at it in a literal sense, in front of everybody, she comes and pours perfume on Jesus. On the head of Jesus and the feet of Jesus. It looks
scandalous.
Very unprofessional.
Scandalous.
Just,
it was.
Just imagine, you know, here itself, okay, if I come and pour on you or you come and pour on me, I mean, how stupid would that be? You know, but that's where we realize, like you said, you know, God is not looking for just trying to be professional or diplomatic, but intimate before Him. You know, you don't have to worry about other people, but just and also I remember in John 11 also, it's only when one of this comes and worships Jesus, Jesus says, okay, come on, let's go and, you know, raise Lazarus back to life. So worship is that key that raises things back to life. Worship is the thing. I mean, don't worship with an intention of doing that, but but you have no idea what can what are the walls that can come down when you actually take time to worship God in your life as well. And how do you worship God when you don't feel like it?
So there's two things to this, right? And I was thinking about this this morning. Our feelings are something that we have always learned to suppress or ignore or avoid. And I think even this question comes up because of that, right? Like, okay, in a sense, like, our feelings either take the place of everything. We are just led by our feelings. We want to do what we feel like, or we ignore it, you know. And I've found that, I think maybe 4 or 5 years, if you had asked me this question, my answer might have been different. But now, God is not, first of all, God is not an autocrat. He's not like, worship me now, you know. He wants us. He wants the whole of who we are, right? And so I think it would be nice to look at our emotions as part of us, and just even acknowledge, take a moment to even acknowledge, why don't you feel like worshiping God? You know, I don't think we necessarily have asked that enough. Why don't I feel like worshiping God right now? What's really going on here? You know, and then to be okay with whatever is going on. Okay, maybe there's anger, maybe there's frustration. Maybe there was a season in my life where I was offended with God for something. I didn't even know it until there was this worship moment. And, you know, worship has a way of doing that. When you're in the presence, music has a way of doing that. That's, it reaches your soul. It brings out things. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that there was this pain and anger towards God in my heart. I was fine with God. I was struggling to connect with Him, but I didn't know what was happening. So I really think it's beautiful to ask, okay, what's actually going on? And allow God to shed some light and truth into that area. And then meet Him in that process. God, right now I'm feeling this. Just acknowledge that and say, but I still acknowledge the truth of who You are in my life. You are still faithful. You are still good. You are still kind. You are unchanging. My feelings, yes, they are temporary. I'm feeling this right now. I may not feel this another hour from now. Or maybe I might. Right? But to just allow God into that journey of your own emotions, I think, is one way to worship Him with your emotions as well. And there are some times when you can't figure out what's going on, when you don't know. And there are some times where you need to set your mind and say, no, I'm going to worship God no matter how I feel. But I think it's helpful to do both.
Don't ignore your feelings, right? Like, don't ignore your emotions. And I think that's where intimacy again comes. in line with what I was just sharing, like sometimes people have that diplomatic relationship with God, where it's like, you know, I hate you, but I still smile because, you know, like the way politicians do that, right?
Why would you do that before God?
Yeah, so don't do that. You don't have to do that before God. Be yourself before God. Open up yourself and say, God, you know what? I don't feel like doing this. And I think that is really the heart of worship. Being open and not just faking it for the sake of, you know, oh, I need to get the song done, you know.
Yeah, because God cares about you in that time, right? Like, we were made to worship Him. So if something is stopping you from worshiping Him, there's something going on. And God wants to help you with that. But many times we look at God as, I need to come before Him perfectly to worship Him. But it's a relationship and He is for us. Like, why would He give us the Holy Spirit if not for that?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit is there inside of us, in the innermost places where we may not know our emotions, but God knows exactly what's going on. And so, yeah, He cares about us. That's the bottom line.
And many a times when I'm not able to, I just start speaking in tongues when I'm not able to connect.
That's good. Yeah.
So that way I'm not faking it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying for the sake of doing it.
That's a good one as well.
Yeah. When you're speaking in tongues, what happens? The scripture says is that spirit. You know, your spirit and God is actually communing with God.
Yeah.
You know, and in through the heavenly language, and it can really make a difference, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I know some of you watch from different denominations, but I can tell you that speaking in tongues is from the scripture, and it is still there for today.
Yeah.
It's not just done and dusted in the Bible times. So, you know, that's something that you can really consider when you don't feel like worshiping God. And how do you have that lifestyle of worship?
Yeah, I think one thing definitely is allowing God into every room of your life. It takes work. Sometimes it takes a little bit of courage, surrender, being honest and open before God. But why would you hide your life from God anyway? He knows it all. He sees it all. So just opening up every room of your life, unlocking the places of your heart and journeying with God every day, right? That's what it is. And so, I mean, I'm telling you, there's nothing that comes close to that way of living with God, that intimacy with God. There's nothing that comes close to it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, to just wake up in the morning and say, good morning, God, because you want to. Not because, you know, sometimes I've not done that. I've taken my phone and, you know, gone into those. But there are days when you wake up and you're just like, wow. And you just speak to Him, connect with Him and love Him and be loved by Him. And saying good morning, God, from that place, right? It's so special. Intimacy with God. Like He said, Mary's gift, Mary's relationship with God, so special, so between Jesus and her. I think that is very precious. And that's what a worship lifestyle looks like. It's a daily relationship with God. So,
that's true. And always go back to that place. If you feel like you're not able to worship God, check, like, what if there's an idol in your heart? Like, just even now, for example, now that we have hit 1,000 episodes, right, with the podcast, every now and then I keep checking myself, Lord, I don't want the podcast to become an idol.
Yeah.
Like, if the day you tell me to stop, even now I'm contemplating, like, not stop actually, but I've been praying about this, that if the Lord is saying, you know, I want you to, are you willing to let go of, you know, the ranking? Are you willing to stop it because I want you to check your heart? I mean, I always check and introspect every area. Like, so even if something is holding you close to your heart, like, you know, I love Scooby-Doo. So there was a season when I was like, God, can I live without Scooby-Doo for 1 month? You know, as introspecting like that, you know, whatever is something precious to
That's
you,
true, yeah.
You know, get to that place and check, can that become your idol? Or is that your idol even without you knowing? Even your ministry, even your endeavors, even your work, you know, can that take the place of God? If that is the case, then that could be a hindrance to your worship. So, you know, the day you decide to remove those, you know, false idols from your heart, and, you know, and it's not just saying, you know, I remove and renounce them, but, you know, take some drastic steps. Like I said, you know, the month I took a break from Scooby-Doo is a month I took to show that, you know, Scooby-Doo is not my idol.
Yeah.
I can live without it, you know. So, or even the podcast, I'm, you know, showing God, like, God, you know what, I'm open for this, whatever you have for me.
Yeah.
So that's what is trusting in the Lord all about. And get to that lifestyle where you just go with the flow of the Spirit and your life will never be the same for the better. your word for budding singers, artists.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, this is going to be a long one. No, okay. So what I want to say to, I think, artists and songwriters, I feel like I've been talking too much for the last 2 hours. No. What I would like to say for, what I would like to say to budding artists and songwriters is this, right? God has made us to create. We all have creative expressions inside of us, whether it's the way we dress, whether it's the way we speak. We are all uniquely made, and we all have this deep desire in us to express. Mm. And I think that's part of God's design. Like, we are made in God's image. God is constantly expressing Himself. Have you seen the sunrise today? Maybe not, you woke up too late like me. But when you look at the sunset, like, every day is different, right? Let's be real, guys. I'm not a morning person. I love mornings, but every day is beautiful. It's unique. God is constantly expressing Himself through us, through nature. We are made to express, right? So as a songwriter and as an artist, whatever you're doing, there is going to be a deep drive for you to be seen, to be heard, to be understood, right? And I think the mistake that a lot of us end up making is we think that if only people can see me, can hear me, and know me, and appreciate me, I will feel great. I will be something amazing, and I will be a success. But I want to tell you that the only person who can truly validate us, who can truly love us for all our expressions, is God. And this need to be seen and to be heard and to be known, only God can truly, truly, truly meet that need, right? And so, it's very important for us, especially as artists and creatives, to have our identity really, really secure in who God calls us to be, what He thinks of us, and then to create from that place. Because when you create from that place, there's so much freedom to be true to who God has made you to be, to not try and get the likes, get the applause of people. But that's the true freedom of, creating from a place where you are connected with God, and you partner with God, you co-write, you co-design with God, right? And I think that's amazing that our creativity, especially as spirit-filled believers, we get to create with the Holy Spirit. And I think everyone does create with the help of the Holy Spirit. Life, anything that gives life, I believe, comes from God. But you and I get to relate with Him as we do it, right? And that's some of my favorite parts of creating, is that. And so, more than the technical and all of that, for me, the main point of advice would be, let your identity be set on God. Let it be drawn from God and not from the things you create. Because what you create is an expression. It's an overflow. And it's not the means to anything, right? Like, your creativity is your gift to the world. So you draw whatever you need from God, and then let that overflow in whatever expression God has put in you. And that is your gift to the world. Like Chattan, I know God has done so much so that the video, like, but I don't track the views. I don't think about that, because that's not doing anything for me technically. I mean, in terms of my identity, my walk with God, my worth. Yes, people are looking at me differently. There are opportunities that I have. All of that is there. But let your art be a gift, and let your affirmation come from God, not from what you are creating. Yeah, that's what I would say.
That's so true. See, even my books, okay, when I wrote them, like, initially the Lord was showing me this, that, you know, sometimes people, you can't go and tell people, read the Bible. And then the Lord was saying, you know, this book has been read by people of other faiths also, a lot of people. And then God is showing, you know, this is the Bible for them. Mm. You know what I mean? What you create is the Bible for them.
It's
a
message from God.
It's the message from God. I'm not saying this equal to the Bible, or I'm not trying to
it's
do that.
It's not the message.
That's not, yeah.
It's a message,
but
yeah.
Even the song, right? Like, you can't go and tell somebody, you know, read the Bible. But then if you say, I have a song, you know, I've sung, and, you know, it's has this many views.
Yeah.
People are going to definitely go and check out. Even people, I saw comments of people of other faiths commenting on that. So, you know, your creativity is a way you can use to build God's kingdom. Okay, it's not just for you. It's not for building your empire, but to build God's kingdom.
Yeah, that's
so when you have right. that heart, you're not trying to impress, you're not trying to write. See, when I had to write this book, I had to spend literally 8 hours a day along with my full-time job and you know, things like that. And you know, it's not easy. It's not, I'm not doing this because I get any big benefit out of, you know, unless I told you that I wrote a book, many of you may not even know that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
So that's the thing, but that's where the heart is. That's where the thing is, you know, you do for God, and but by God's grace, it actually hit number one in India on Amazon.
Okay.
So God's ways are His own ways. So you don't have to worry about that. You just focus on creating. God will do the rest.
That's really good. I just want to say, Sam always used to say this, Sam, the founder of Bridge Music. And I've heard this quote many times, right? Songs can go where sermons can't. Songs can reach in a way also that. So if you're a songwriter, know that you have a lot of power. The things that you write, the things that you put in a song, it really matters. So it's important to also draw from the word of God, from the truth of God, because what you put in a song is what people are going to be singing for a long, long time, right? And I think I lost what did you say other than there was something else that you said that was really good. I lost that.
The creating thing. I mean, it's just using to build God's kingdom.
Yeah, right? Using it to build God's kingdom. That's right. Amen. I lost my train of thought, but that's okay.
So anything, any other thing in your mind that you want to share about what's in your heart about, you know, for the body of Christ, or what is your, any other topic in your heart that you want to? I know you spoke a lot, but
yeah. Thank you for patiently listening to me as well. No, I mean, I just hope that these kind of conversations, you know, really help you understand deeper what a walk with God looks like. You know, what all aspects are there, right? I think maybe one thing that I would want to say, since I'm featuring on the 1,000th episode and all of that, right? Like, yeah. I think I just want to say that maybe people might look at my life from the outside and think that, whoa, she's doing this, she's doing that, she's in ministry. And people tend to put people in ministry on a pedestal. It just happens. And especially when God does choose people for specific things, God does anoint people, and His power does move through us, right? But I do want to encourage us to not put people on pedestals and not to make them... And not to have the celebrity culture also in the church. It really hurts my heart when I see, you know, power imbalances. And I do think about this a lot, right? God has chosen certain people for certain things. Moses was chosen to lead people into deliverance, into freedom. And God is always doing that, right? But God's heart is through Jesus to empower each of us. Because each of us is a superstar in God's eyes. That is the truth. He's not made anyone lesser than anyone else. That's not who my God is. I'm just saying. Right? Like, He has designed us with so much intention. You are God's dream. You are God's treasure. And so I think for me, my heart is really to see everybody understand their individual call, their purpose. What was God's dream for your life when He made you, right? And so to really walk in that and to not have this whole thing of, oh, that person is... of course, everyone has a different journey and different story with God. There is a price to pay. I think each of us who is on the platform or who's doing things, you know, I mean, don't underplay it either. There is a reason God promotes certain people. There is a price, there is a journey, there is a process. But I'm saying if you trust the Lord and if you submit and surrender to Him, you don't know what He can do with your life. And I would rather my life be a weapon in God's hands, a tool in His hands, and be a part of His eternal story than build my own name or build my own, you know, which will fade away, I don't know, not even a few years, right? So, yeah, don't exalt fame or influence and any of those things. But like He said, the main purpose for us is to seek God, to make His name known on this earth. And I think the best way to do that would be a daily living relationship with the Father, right? Like I said, that is worship to me. And to just summarize this whole conversation, for me it would be everything in our life comes to a standstill and comes to vanity if we don't have God in it, right? If we don't have intimacy with Him. So I think my message would be just that.
That's so good. So any words towards me, the ministry and the podcast? Like, what do you...
I mean, like I said, congratulations on the 1,000th episode. It takes a lot of consistency and hard work. I mean, we know Vihan is a common friend, mm-hmm. and I've seen that in her as well, right? Like, that she's so dedicated, and I really admire the consistency that it takes to mm-hmm. get something going. Just the fact that you've been coming here, you know, doing so much work for so many years, I really believe that, one, it is the grace of God. God gives us the passion and the fervor to do it. And the only way you get better at things is also by just doing it and, you know, having these standards of excellence. And so I just want to say, may God bless you and all that you're doing. And may He, you know, as you approach these new territories as well, may He give you the resources and the wisdom and also help you impact the people that He has assigned for you to impact, you know, through your life. And so, yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast. It was fun.
Oh, cool. Thank you. So, how can people stay connected with your stuff? I mean, of course, I'll put the link to your website and your Instagram account on the description, but anything else? There's so many things. I know you said you're not into self-advertising, so see, that's one-on-one counseling.
So I mean, my main focus areas are, of course, songwriting and my songs. Looking forward to hopefully putting out more music out there. And of course, mental health is something I'm passionate about, especially in the church. But so I'm also looking forward to probably doing some conversations on it, some more podcasts. You never know. So you can stay in touch through my Instagram and also my website. It's just prakrityangelina.com. And yeah, if you need any kind of help with regards to mental health, make sure you reach out to us. I also have another page. It's called Pebbles from My Journey, specifically for faith and mental health intersection. So yeah, I would love to just connect with you and have you be part of our community. Also do a weekly Bible study when I'm not traveling, for the ones who really want to just connect and have that space. So yeah, if I've missed anything else out, you will find it on my Instagram. So yeah.
I know, it's self-introduction is best introduction. So anyway, so guys, we come to the end of this conversation. I hope you guys were blessed by this. We're going to end with a word of prayer. But before that, I encourage you to like, comment, share, subscribe, and check out the daily podcast. If you're checking this on YouTube, it's available on over 60 platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, JioSaavn, iHeartRadio, and so on and so forth. You can also check out the podcast where my messages get dubbed into Tamil or every week. And you can also check out my books, including my second one, Unveil Your Purpose. I'm sure it'll help you in your walk with the Lord. And there's so many different things you can check out every single day's content and inspiration and encouragement. And if you want more details, check it out at www.johngifted.com or my social media feeds as well. So thank you so much for coming, and thank you so much, Prakriti.
You've been listening to Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta. We hope you were blessed and inspired to live the life that God has for you. Make sure to subscribe to the John Gifta YouTube channel for regular uploads of sermons, skits, interviews, and more. Follow John Gifta on Instagram for regular inspirational posts. And don't forget to check out the best-selling books written by John Gifta, Who Am I?, which will help you understand your identity, and the latest number one bestseller, Unveil Your Purpose, helping you discover your purpose and to start walking in it. Make sure to leave a rating and review, and be sure to share it with your friends and loved ones. If you'd like to donate, you can find the PayPal link in the description. And if you'd like to invite John Gifta to speak at your event or to get more details, go to the website at www.johngifta.com. See you on the next episode of the Fuel for the Soul with John Gifta. God bless you.